Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
There are a lot of questions here. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to answer them all in today, but there are other days also. You don't like to put it here, as previously? It doesn't go very well. Huh? There's one kind of tape, it's like paper, not like the plastic one. That seems to be quite good. Yeah.
Demigod worship is not encouraged, but we find in the Bhagavatam, in Krishna's daily activities, he used to visit the demigod's temple.
Well, the first question isn't a question, but I guess the question is implied. How do you know that Krishna used to worship the demigods in his daily activities? Who asked this question? Who asked the question? Now they're afraid. They're probably confused also. Anyone who read Krishna book knows, right? It's stated right there. Well, it's stated there in Bhagavatam. Well, if you read it in Bhagavatam, you must have read the statement also that Lord Krishna did that to set an example for the common man to respect the demigods. So you got the answer. If you just read a little bit attentively, you would have got the answer. Maybe people, they just like to hear the story, and when there's any philosophy, their brain just turns off or something. So please read Srimad Bhagavatam very carefully. We have sets of Srimad Bhagavatam here. We always used to ask, who has Bhagavad Gita as it is? And then who didn't have, we'd give them Bhagavad Gita. But nowadays when we ask that, we find pretty much everyone has Bhagavad Gita as it is. So now the question is, who's got Srimad Bhagavatam? And those who don't, you should take it for your home. We have sets of Srimad Bhagavatam here in English and Tamil. So if you don't have a set, please take a set. Do you have a monthly payment system? Yeah. We did 20-something sets in Bharuch. Actually, already more than half the people had, but we did more than 20 sets, and mostly on a installment, that's the word, on an installment basis. So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna teaches to respect the demigods, but not to worship them for any material benefit. So Lord Krishna, to set the example for common people who are not yet on the platform of pure devotional service, he also worshipped demigods. Not exactly worship, but he offered respect like that. So we may do also. Not that devotees on a regular basis worship demigods, but if we happen to go past a temple of a demigod, we may also go in and offer respect. Offering respect to that demigod as an important devotee of Vishnu. There are prayers in Brahma Samhita which we may, to Govinda, which describe the roles of various demigods in relation to him. For instance, in relation to Lord Shiva, there is the prayer, Kshirang yatha dadhivikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahitatah pritagasti heto yashambhutamapitata samupaiti karyat Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. I worship Govinda, the original personality of Godhead, of whom Lord Shiva is an expansion in the manner that yogurt is a transformation of milk. So just as yogurt is nothing but milk, but is nevertheless not the same as milk. Just as milk transforms into yogurt, but yogurt cannot transform into milk. And as milk and yogurt have different effects. So in the same way, Lord Shiva is in one sense non-different from Lord Krishna, but at the same time he is different from him. He comes from Krishna, not that Krishna comes from Shiva. So in this way we can respect demigods. Then the next question.
Why does Krishna have peacock feather in his head? And why is lotus flower considered more sacred?
Yeah, said in Tamil. Peacock feather is very beautiful. Krishna is very beautiful. Krishna has good taste. And he's a boy of the forests. So he decorates himself with peacock feathers. He likes that. So if he likes it, that's a perfectly good enough reason for Krishna to do so. Why is the lotus flower considered sacred? Actually, the most sacred flower is Tulasi. You should maybe change the BJP symbol to a Tulasi, or make our own party. Vaishnavia Janata Party. That we already have. It's called the Hare Krishna movement. Yesterday we had a program at Ambur in Vellore district. I believe it's in Vellore district. And there were several local Hindu leaders there who had previously been with the BJP, but they'd become disappointed. They'd become disappointed on seeing corruption within the party. So now they want to promote ISKCON. So I told them now they're in the HKP, Hare Krishna Party. Yeah, so the lotus is sacred because Krishna likes it. Anything which Krishna likes is sacred. Anything connected with Krishna is sacred. Again, the lotus is very beautiful. Yeah, then another question.
Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that those who did pious activities, they take birth with beauty, wealth and aristocracy. But such people who have such opulences, the today's politicians, why they want more money and torturing the people? Because they want more money, they are torturing the people. Why the Lord is leaving them freely?
Actually, that's a statement of Srimad Bhagavatam, just for the record. Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribhir. Edhamanamadhapuman naivarhatyabhidhatungvai tvamakinchana gochara. This Queen Kunti says, and in this verse you get the answer to this question also, that high birth, wealth, learning and bodily beauty are acquired due to previous pious activities. But people who have these, they become bewildered. Only those who are free from the attractions for promoting themselves by material means, those who feel, I have nothing but Krishna, only such persons can attain Krishna. So people attain material facilities through pious activities. What we call pious activities, they are executed by materialistic people. They are not spiritually minded people, they are materialistic people who consider that if I act piously, I can enjoy myself better later on. So when they actually get the facility to enjoy, then that tendency which is within them to enjoy this world, to exploit others, becomes manifest. In other words, they become demons. I read once a statement, not by a devotee, by a non-devotee. It was one of those famous quotes that we can understand the character of a person by the way he treats people who are subordinate to him, that he's got nothing to gain from them. What is his attitude towards people that he cannot gain anything from? So the politicians are torturing others. Why does Krishna allow that? Well, this is the world where people come to indulge in their fantasy of being God, being an enjoyer separately from Krishna. Ishvaroham hambhogi. So Krishna allows that for some time. Then after some time, those who are sinful, they get the result. They become, they fall to the lower species, they go to hell. We've come to this world to forget Krishna. Krishna gives facility for that. Actually, people blame the politicians, but they would like to be in the same position themselves. They blame the politicians, but they would like to get the opportunity to do the same thing, and they would do the same thing if they had the opportunity. The ones who now have the opportunity to be the big demons, that's because they did some punya previously. You cannot become a big leader without some kind of punya. Please try to understand this, that punya or pious activities which are executed for the sake of gaining some material enjoyment, that does not purify the heart. Or there might be some slight temporary purification. But unless one gets association of devotees, because the tendency to enjoy this material world is so strong, that when one gets the result of that punya, the opportunity to enjoy this material world, then all those ideas of being good, which one took up temporarily, that's all forgotten. And one acts as a demon. That's why we should understand everything through Shastra. Through Shastra we see we get the understanding of what's going on underneath the surface. Why did Srila Prabhupada always speak against opening hospitals and schools and feeding the poor? It seems like a very good thing to do. But it's of no ultimate good to anyone. Unless people are awakened to Krishna consciousness, opening a hospital or a school, it doesn't help them, the Atma, the living being. It does nothing to help them whatsoever. And persons who do this, they're not doing it out of a sense of pure altruism. They also have their mundane, they have their personal motives. Yeah, what's the next question? In course of time, you can be sure, these politicians will be smashed by Maya. But they have their time to enjoy. They're given that. We should become a purified consciousness. Otherwise, sometimes it's seen in Krishna consciousness that someone, they have some kind of ability to organize, and they're given some position, and they also treat their subordinates in a not very proper way. They've not become purified. Yeah, then? Something to do with family?
Yes.
Kutumba. What is that verse? Diva chate hashi rajan kutumba barane. Nidraya hriyate naktam vyava yena chava vayaha. Diva chate ha hayeshu rajan. What is that? Kutumba Bharanenava. Materialistic people spend their nights in sleeping and sense enjoyment, and their days in working hard to maintain their family members. Yeah, then? What's the question?
In family, somebody who is not good, how to make them a good person?
You cannot make them a good person. You cannot do anything to anyone. You can only expose them to Krishna consciousness and pray that they take it up. We cannot force a living being to do anything, to take up Krishna consciousness or to reject Krishna consciousness. Even Krishna doesn't do that. Every living being has minute independence. So if we think, I made so many devotees, you didn't make any devotees. No one can make a devotee. We can simply try to induce people to take up their natural position of Krishna consciousness. Whether they do or not is ultimately up to them. We may ask, why didn't Prabhupada make his own family members Krishna conscious? Well, for that matter, out of the maybe thousands of people who heard Srila Prabhupada preach, or out of the millions of people who have read Srila Prabhupada's books, not everyone takes his message seriously. The duty of a preacher of Krishna consciousness is to preach. Whether or not people take it, that is up to Krishna. One who understands this principle and acts on it with compassion for the fallen souls, that they may take up Krishna consciousness, this person will be an effective preacher. But someone who thinks, I'm making devotees, I'm distributing books, I'm collecting money, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, they're actually in mundane consciousness, although apparently engaged in spiritual activities. Karta ham, I am the doer, this is Maya. While apparently engaged in spiritual activities, they're simply pumping up their ego. It means they're not making any spiritual progress.
Before selecting our spiritual master, is it okay if we have a desire to choose a guru who can personally guide us? Or is it that personal association of guru is not that much necessary and we should just follow his instructions?
I always think this is amusing when I hear this about choosing a spiritual master. I always find this amusing. It's a common statement, choosing a spiritual master. One day you come up to a spiritual master and you say that, you must be very happy to know that out of my causeless mercy, I have decided that you will be my spiritual master. And the guru will faint in ecstasy and think, oh, now Krishna has answered my prayers. You cannot make someone Krishna conscious. You cannot choose a guru. You can pray to a devotee of Krishna that please accept me, please purify me. Or is that someone who should personally guide us? Well, in one purport in this Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srila Prabhupada writes that without being personally guided by a spiritual master, no one can make any advancement in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada also stated that personal association is for fools. Meaning that an intelligent disciple can, by hearing, can understand what is required. Personal association is also needed. To observe the Krishna consciousness in practice. Previously, in Tamil Nadu, the Ramanuja Sampradaya was widespread and strong. Today, not so much. The same facility for being Krishna conscious is there. Inasmuch as there are the same temples are there, the same literature is there. But because there are not devotees who are living and practicing and teaching in the same way as previously, the whole Ramanuja Sampradaya has become weaker. The same in the same shastras there with the stories of Prahlad and Ambarish and Dhruva and great devotees and the instruction of how we should surrender to Krishna. But without devotees to preach that message and to live that message and show others how they can also live that message, the cult has become weaker. Some attempt to revive that is going on now within the Ramanuja Sampradaya. But the point I'm making is that devotees' personal presence is also required to bring the message of Shastra to life and bring it into our lives. Yeah, this is, I'll speak a few points about this. I've written many notes and I want to make a book on guru and disciple in Krishna consciousness. I've actually written hundreds of pages of notes on this topic so that all the points, or the major points can be set out in a systematic way and preserved for future generations. So that's one way in which devotees, they share their scriptural knowledge and realizations is by writing books. But sometimes just a few words from a devotee that can have an effect in someone's life that they might not get even from reading books for many years, or what they read, it becomes realized by just a few words. There are many examples of that in Srila Prabhupada's interactions with his disciples and with others. One disciple related that he was with a group of devotees on a walk with Srila Prabhupada, and he asked Srila Prabhupada a question. I can't remember what the question is, and Prabhupada said, I've been instructing you about this for hundreds of lives. And the other devotees thought, oh, you see, he's been Prabhupada's disciple for hundreds of lives. But that devotee took it in the manner which I understood when he first said it, that Prabhupada said that, I'm telling you this again and again and again, and you still don't get the point, you're so stupid. Srila Prabhupada stated that he wanted all his disciples to have 10,000 disciples. So if you have 10,000 disciples, it's difficult to personally interact with each one of them in an intimate manner. And it's not possible, especially, I mean, even if they were all living in one place, it wouldn't be possible. But if they're spread out, then it becomes less possible. So Srila Prabhupada himself, he didn't remember the names of all his disciples. You may be shocked to hear, but it's a Prabhavishnu Swami that told me that twice Prabhupada Prabhavishnu Swami's presence asked other devotees, who is that boy, what is his name, after Prabhavishnu Brahmacharya at that time had been initiated. So, a lot depends on the ability of the disciple to absorb what's being said. Srila Prabhupada said, I didn't speak with my guru more than a dozen times. Whereas others of his disciples, they spoke with him dozens of times every day for years. But who really absorbed the message of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and who got his mercy in the greatest measure? That's very clear, was Srila Prabhupada. So I've not given a direct answer to the question, but I've discussed some points that are relevant to it, and you can think about it and understand what you understand from it. So now there will be Sandhya Arati Kirtan, and you're all invited to sing and dance and be happy. Only Vamsidhari Prabhu should not dance, because he has some sprained ankle. And I also should not dance, because I also have sprained ankles. So you all dance, but I won't dance. Not today, anyway. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.